Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rains on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. A-game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. A made no rain on the track when we unite.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, but I gotta leave it. How you doing, JD?
Not as always. You and I have been very inconsistent with when we've joined each other on the show with over the last month or so. So with you semi-consistently is JD. Yeah, well, I'm okay. I'm actually great. How are you?
I'm really good, man. We're on a little bit of a streak. We got 2 weeks in a row.
My man.
Which is big, like the best we've done this whole month. All right. Well, yeah. I guess like since the beginning of March, because March was kind of a tough.
Tough month. I think February too wasn't great. I missed a couple of them with wrestling. So like,
that's true.
It's been a thing for a bit now, so it's good to get stuff. I was talking to our buddy Jeremy. I was texting him before the show, and I was telling him, like, you know, people like check up on me, like, how you doing. I'm like, dude, I'm freaking great. Like, I've been spending a lot of like my free time working on my brain, so honest to God, bro. And I told you this yesterday, I feel better than I've ever felt in a long time. Like, I do, honest to God. And I hear good news from friends, and it makes me feel good and like good. So I mean, like, I'm a happy camper. How about you?
Well, I'm good. I've been holding on to a secret for weeks now. Because we were a little bit nervous to break news, but my wife and I were expecting another child. We just made the announcement over the weekend. So your boy confirmed sex haver at least twice. Like twice confirmed. Yeah, twice confirmed. The rest of it's all rumors, but at least twice is like scientifically proven that it's happened. So we're like super stoked. I had this surgery back in December called a varicosectomy, something like that. Like,
I remember that.
Yeah. So basically I had like this like varicose vein in my balls that was like blocking my swimmers. Ow. Yeah. So I had to go in and get that corrected. And sure enough, like a month later, like that's when it all happened. So like it worked. So that's like super awesome. I was like, damn, I wish I'd have done this 2 years ago. Cause you know, we've been trying for a while, but we didn't know that was an issue. And so we actually went and got checked out. Like both of us went and got checked out to see like, hey, like, why are we not getting pregnant? And turns out it was me. I was like, damn it. So I was like, but it was like, they were like, ah, it's a quick procedure. And quick is that's kind of a strong word. I think I was in there for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
That's pretty quick for a surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. But I actually put my life on the line and my whole boys on the line in the hands of an army doctor. So that's like very, like can be traumatizing. It's like, but they did a great job. They took really good care of me, and they were awesome. So, now we are expecting another baby here in October is when the due date is.
You cleared the line, and the boys were swimming just fine right after that. So, yeah. Do you guys know? Do you want to know even what the sex is?
Yes, we do want to know.
You're keeping that under wraps.
Yeah, so my wife went and got a blood test this week, and like she's gonna get the results and send it to our friend, who is then going to do a gender reveal. And I did not want to do that last time, because we had some friends that like when they did the gender reveal, like the dad was like disappointed on video. I'm like, dude, your kids are gonna see that. You know what I mean? Ooh, so I'm like, if you ask me, I don't care. Like, I want a healthy baby and a healthy mom afterwards. That's all I care about. So, but it's kind of like a fun thing to do. My wife really wants to do it. So we're going to do that. And so then we will know the gender, and that way we can, like, we, my wife is very much a planner, likes to plan ahead on everything. And so we need to decorate the room. Actually, this room that we're in, my office, my podcast room, I'm losing it. So we're keeping my desk. So this, all this behind me is going away. But I'm keeping the desk. I'm still going to do the podcast from this room. I might just every once in a while have a baby inside of it.
So he says, we'll see if that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to reconfigure the room and see how it's going to work out. But like, you guys might just be seeing the door, because this is going to go up against the wall that's behind me. In front of me is just the door to the hallway. And then to the left of me is like a guest bed. We have a queen guest bed in here for people that stay over, like visitors and stuff. And then over there in the corner, we have another desk. That's where my wife does her homework. And thankfully she's going to be graduating this summer from Hawaii University. So we're going to get that out of the way. And so we're going to reconfigure this whole room. It's going to be a nursery essentially. And like dad, like being an idiot with his dumb friends on podcasting. So like, that's going to be like halfway. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I got to be honest with you, man. I'm so happy for you. I know we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago. So I'm just thrilled that the news is out and then you got to be a dad all over again. I don't know if I want to have a baby again personally. I remember those days. They can be a little nerve wracking, but
it's going to be tough. You know, my daughter has really taken one for the team. We've learned all of our mistakes with her. Like we learned how to become parents with her. And so hopefully like we've learned from some of maybe the decisions that we would have made differently and things like that with the next child. So, but my kid is super happy, but like,
oh yeah,
she couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. She gets to be a big sister. She's going to love that. We had a practice kid. I don't think I ever told you about this. My wife and I, about 10 years ago, took in one of my wrestlers who was a sophomore in high school, and we had him for about a year and a half, and it went good till it didn't. Like, he still had a family. They were not positive influences on him, and it was good till it wasn't, and we learned a lot about parenting. And right when he left us is when Michelle got pregnant. So, I mean, like, we jokingly said, oh, things go great, but, you know, we got the practice one out of the way, so... Yeah. You know, we actually did have a practice kid. So, you know, I understand where you're coming from with this one a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you also have some exciting news. We're not there yet, but I think we can go ahead and, like, you already started telling people.
Dude, you're going to make me follow up your wife being pregnant with my thing. Way to bury the freaking lead, dude. I mean,
I know, come on. You know, for an author, having a book is kind of like having a new baby.
No. I've had a baby. It's not even remote. Like, anyone who says that is so full of their own shit. Like, they're sniffing their own farts. No, it's nothing.
I was just trying to do a segue. All right. Come on. Give me.
I've been sitting on a book for over a year. And then the stuff with my dad really pushed me into, you know, quit being a sissy, you know, get out there and get it done. You've done this 12 times before. There's no reason why you can't do it now. I spent about the last year of my life in my own head, and now it's time to man up. So Mike has got something to do. You go ahead. I can talk about myself forever, sir. I was once referred to as a conversational narcissist on my other show. So, on May 6th, I'm launching a Kickstarter for my book Gaijin, which I think if you're listening to this show, you might be into. I gave some previews of it away on our Patreon account, Mike and JD Patreon. Available $5 a month, and we're launching the full book for my novel Gaijin. It is about an American professional wrestler down on his luck, gets one last opportunity to go to Japan and wrestle in a G1 style tournament, and while there he gets sucked into a Yakuza war. So the story really has this like dual narrative where, you know, this kind of gullible guy, all shucks guy, kind of goes to Japan and winds up becoming a complete piece of shit drug lord kind of, and while his wrestling character starts out as this, you know, dastardly heel and becomes a beloved babyface. So there's like, I really like the dual narrative style that I was able to work into this book. I think it's the best book I've ever written. I'm real excited to get people to read it. Like, it's cool. I got some really cool ideas for the Kickstarter. I've ran five successful Kickstarters in the past, and they've all been really cool. I really enjoy putting my work out on Kickstarter because I think it gives you a chance to really, you know, do something cool with a book that's better than just, hey, I got a book, buy it. You know, it's a hard thing to do. It's hard to sell your wares. When you're doing a Kickstarter, like, you can really kind of make an event around it. I've got some really cool like add-ons, like they're doing a tournament, right? And this, the book's based around a tournament. So I actually did the program for the tournament. So you get to kind of learn about all the guys in the tournament. I did some really cool artwork for it. Like, I'm really proud of the extra stuff. And what's also cool about a Kickstarter is there's all kinds of cool bonuses where you can get other books. Like, I got 13 other books that are going to be attached to this thing you can get to. And I said, it's a good opportunity for, you know, a guy like me who I love wrestling, right? Like, I'm here on a Thursday night at 10:45 a night because I freaking love professional wrestling. And I also love writing. So, I mean, having a chance to do a book that kind of combines both of those two things was cool. And my buddy John Muse is sitting in the chat right now. And, you know, John was the guy I went to. And I said, all right, I'm trying to book a tournament. Help me out with how to structure a tournament. Like, so it was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun putting this together. And Mike has totally hung me out to dry here, because now I do feel like a complete freaking narcissist talking about my book forever and ever. So if you are listening and you have a podcast of your own, I am looking to book a little bit of a media tour where I can just kind of go on my podcast and talk, or on other people's podcasts, and kind of, you know, expose the book to some potential new readers. And, you know, so we're going to launch the book on May 6th. And it'll run for about 28 days. And, you know, we're just going to try to sell as many books as we can in a short amount of time. The book is done, so you don't have to worry about these horrific Kickstarter stories about, like, they don't hear about them too much anymore. But back in the day when I first got involved with Kickstarter, there were stories about, you know, people would pledge to these books or whatever, or these projects that never came to fruition. And that's the thing about Kickstarter, is they're going to take your money whether the project is done or not. Well, you don't got to worry about that with me. The book is finished. I don't have my proof yet. I'm waiting to get my official proof in the mail once I get the final cover approved. Maybe I'll send it to the Patreon. Actually, I think I'm going to do that. I'll put out a thing for our Patreon. If you're a subscriber to the Mike and JD Show Patreon, I'm going to give you guys a choice of what cover do you think is the best. So I'll let you guys kind of help me out with that. So yeah, book's done. And the second it's over, it's, you know, you're going to get the book. Like, the campaign will end on day 28. And if the digital copies will be sent the very next day, the print takes a little bit longer because, you know, you got to print them. But yeah, so it should be a very quick turnaround. And I'm super excited to release something new. It's been 2 years since I've done, not 2 years. It's been about a year and a half since I last did a Kickstarter. And, you know, they're a lot of fun. There's a lot of, it's a really cool way to kind of expose your work to new people, and it's a great way to kind of get books in the hands of people who have already read your stuff. And Mike is gone. I don't know what's going on right now, so I'm kind of left in a lurch. I'll just say this right now: we're going to do a special extra long edition of the Mike and JD Show today. Mike, I got to get up in the morning. I gotta teach in the AM. So, and I don't give a flying fuck about WWE. So Mike is actually going to stick around after the show and do a little bit of a WrestleMania weekend preview and kind of go over what's going on, not only with Mania itself, but with a lot of the shows kind of surrounding it. I don't know what he has planned, but this is something we just kind of talked about in our pre-show, where Mike's going to come on and he is going to talk about what's happening over the weekend. And we also had to, we already both announced that we are, for our Patreon, we are going to screen John Carpenter's They Live. I'm super excited to do this movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's got a huge wrestling connection with Roddy Piper. We were going to do it this Sunday. We've had to reschedule because Mike's birthday is actually going to be on Tuesday and his family's taking him out this Sunday. So I called him a selfish piece of shit for not wanting to spend time with me watching a movie rather than being with his family. I'm kidding. Of course, so we're going to just push it back a week. So instead of this upcoming Sunday, we're going to do the They Live Patreon episode. We're going to do that in two Sundays. So two Sundays from going to do They Live. Dude, I was just treading water, having no idea where you were gone. I told them that you're going to do the Mania preview. I told them about us pushing back They Live a week. So
yeah, that one's on me. Yeah. So everything's so that was my boss. And me and him have a great relationship, and what he just talked to me about is something that we need to get into on this show. Because it has something to do with what CM Punk was talking about in Ariel Helwani earlier this week. And it's something that JD, by God, Oliva did an amazing video called the JD Oliva Project about leadership. and effective leadership and how to manage people appropriately. So we're having an issue where we have one person on in our unit that enough people are saying the same thing about this person and like their lack of leadership skills to where it's a problem. And so now we might have to remove the leader. We don't know if that's going to be the case because I have influence. I don't have authority, right? It's a little bit different on the enlisted side, but it's like not handling problems as they arise, letting them fester, letting them build up to where they explode and not doing your job as a leader. That is not an AEW specific problem. That is a problem that you see in all walks of life. And if you don't have the skills to be able to confront issues like immediately and to be able to handle them and squash them appropriately, and it takes a special talent to be able to do that. Not everybody is qualified to do that. And that is okay, right? Not everybody is qualified for leadership, right? A lot of people like to be led. They need to be led into situations. They like to be told what to do. And that's okay. Like, we need those people too. Other people, they're the leaders, right? That's why they get paid a little bit more because they have to tread lightly. Like JD, I can talk to you one way, right? But I can't talk to you the same way that I talk to this other person because you guys receive information differently. A leader will understand that about the receiver of the information, right? And so that's kind of the issue that we're facing at work was we have these types of personalities and they don't know how to manage all these other different types of little personalities. And they're trying to be themselves the same for everybody and it just doesn't work. And so that leads to altercations, that leads to complaints, that leads to inspector general complaints, that leads to all kinds of different stuff. And so we got to make sure that we're just taking care of that. So sorry I bailed on you, but that was an important phone call that I had to take. So
no, it's perfectly fine. I got to talk about me for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that because like, I think we can actually segue into this now because we were going to talk about this anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think there's far more bad leaders in leadership position and there are good leaders in leadership positions. Yeah. Like a good leader is really hard to find and it takes time to develop. Like there's some people that, you know, talent is a real thing. Like some people are more talented in various subjects than others, but I mean, a good leader is someone who's been around and who's been through stuff and who's learned from a lot of their mistakes. Like I think both of us can share tons of stories about times we dropped the ball, you know, with trying to do the right thing, but you learn. And we were talking about this with our Red Mask buddy the other day about how it's, and I think I said, it's only if Tony Khan didn't learn something from the CM Punk situation about how to better manage people, then it's truly a loss. Right.
Yeah.
I really hope that he has. I don't know if he has, but if he hasn't, it's kind of a tragedy because he absolutely let that fester for far too long.
He has, and that's the disappointing part. And I hope that he has learned. And we don't know. We won't know until something happens, right? And so, but we do know that the awesome video that you did, JD, last year when all the CM Punk stuff went down, whenever he got fired. We do know that reached the AEW locker room. We have that as a fact, right?
Yeah,
and they liked what you said, right? And you were critical of Tony Khan, not as like a person, but just that like leadership wise, based on how the whole situation played out. That happened on his watch. That's his fault, right? Now, could CM Punk have handled himself a lot better? Of course, right? Yeah. Could Jungle Boy have handled that situation way differently? Of course. There's a reason why he is stuck in the House of Torture right now, right? And he's that like people don't think he got punished. He's being punished, continually being punished, for coming up on a year now. Like this summer will be a year. So, and CM Punk got punished. He got fired, right? Like, I mean, he ended up better for it. Like he, you know, went to WWE and, you know, he seems to be happy. That's fine. That happens sometimes. Sometimes you shit can somebody and they just end up being better for it.
Yeah.
And you just can't control that, but you got to take care of your own house. Right. So.
A firing happens because someone doesn't fit in a culture, right? Yeah. Like it's just, he didn't fit there as well as we all thought that he would, or that he probably should have. And like, and I got to, the thing with Punk is that like, he's kind of a narcissist where in that there's always kind a of. Problem. Yeah. He's a big nerd. Let's be real. Let's be real. I'm a fan. Like, yeah, excuse me. pardon me. I'm a fan. So, I mean, like it's hard to say this, but I mean, it's the truth. It's like, if everywhere you go, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe the problem isn't with everybody else, you know? And it's a repeated case with him. And he did it again this week where, you know, everyone else is stupid, but him, you know, it's like, it's so funny that he's like, the funniest part was he's like, I just couldn't get the Bucks to talk to me, and no one, you know, people just wouldn't talk, and they just wouldn't talk. And Colt Cabana tried to talk to him, and he said, well, we'll only talk through lawyers. Yeah. And it's like, damn, bro, you're a fucking hypocrite. Like, you say, like, you say one thing out of one side of your mouth, and something else comes out of the other. Like, and that's the thing, is like, and when you have that narcissistic personality, it's like everyone's against you, and you don't realize what the problem is. So I mean, it's a matter of time in WWE before he becomes CM Punk again.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, man.
Yeah. So I, you know, and that's the thing, like, Punk's a complicated guy, and I think that's probably an understatement. Like, obviously narcissist, probably a bit of a sociopath. My favorite part of the interview was like, he's like, look, I was trying to handle things as a professional. I only choked a guy. I mean, I could have killed him, but I didn't, because I'm a professional. You know, I was like, that's like all time Punk line. Like, it's like, I know people want me to hate him. I can't.
Well, he's good for us.
Yeah.
He's great for the podcast world. But I mean, he legitimately said to Ariel Helwani, who's such a spineless little turd, that he just nodded the whole time. And like, I just choked him. Like, I just physically accosted someone who I didn't like and choked him. Like, think about that. Like, that's, I mean, I don't know, man. And then, say what you want about Punk, but Cody Rhodes sure handles himself a lot different in these public situations. Call the man a politician, but
yeah,
he sure comes off a lot better.
He does. You know, Punk is like, he's very eloquent. He's very well spoken.
Oh, excellent. One of the greatest speakers of all time.
He's infinitely interesting, right? I mean, about 50,000 times more fascinating than Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes is going to toe the line, and he's going to be very careful with his words. I think you need to have both in your company, right? Like, it's good to have like a little bit of a wild card, but you also need like Cody, who is going to toe the company line. He's going to go out there and only say the right things. And then you got Punk, and it's like, you never know what the hell is going to come out of his mouth. And that's obviously the more interesting person to listen to. And I honestly really enjoyed the interview. And I thought, people say what they want about Ariel Helwani. I thought he got Punk to open up more than I've ever seen him. And he's always been able to get Punk to open up, because
he's good at his job. No doubt.
Yeah. They've done several interviews before when he was with WWE, before he left, like Punk or Ariel was the guy that Punk would go to do his interviews. They had like a friendship and a relationship through Paul Heyman. And so I was curious about how it would go, because Ariel, like you said, is kind of spineless, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with pro wrestling, he's spineless, but not in MMA. He asked the tough questions.
He's right? a different guy.
He's like a legit Syracuse trained journalist. He takes MMA seriously. So with this, I was kind of curious if he would actually ask the tough questions, because he didn't with Triple H. He let Triple H off the hook, right? He asked Tony Khan tough questions, but Triple H, he would just like, didn't ask him anything tough. Like, oh, you almost died. How was that? You know, those kind of questions. With CM Punk, he did ask him the tough questions. And I thought Punk, out of everybody in that company, handled the Vince question the best, like by comparing him to, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer and Chris Benoit. I thought like out of everybody, I thought he handled it the best. And he actually spoke about it for a while. So I'll give Ariel some credit for like asking those tough questions.
I mean, here's the thing though. I don't think that's a tough question anymore, because Vince is not with TKO. TKO has gone above and beyond to distance himself from Vince McMahon.
That's a good point.
He could have done that with Triple H, but he didn't. He hid behind it, because he hides behind the veneer of what he is in MMA.
Yeah.
And then in pro wrestling, he's just a fanboy. Like, I just, I can't take his stuff seriously. He's like that Steve Carrier guy. Like, the only difference is he's far, Ariel Helwani is far more eloquent. But again, it's easy for people to shit on Vince McMahon now.
Yeah.
Right? Where was this 6 months ago? Oh, now everyone has a problem with him. Like, and again, like, Punk is the guy to do it, because Punk has never liked him, right? So of course that's going to be a thing. Easy for him to do that. But again, I mean, like, where was that from Triple H? Where was that kind of guts all this time ago? Oh, now that the guy's gone, we can go out and do this. Like, fuck him, man. He is just such a WWE fanboy. Like, and he wears it on his sleeve. Like, hopefully he gets a nice charcuterie board from the company the way Alfred did.
He's fine with it. And of all the WWE fanboys, it's disappointing, because we know that he's better than that.
Right? See, like, Falk,
that guy,
I just I threw the wrong guy under the bus. Sorry, Steve Carrier, if that's a real person.
Steve Carrier sucks too. That was Steve Falk.
Oh, does he? Okay. Okay. So I didn't throw a bad guy under the bus. Okay.
Steve
Carrier
is the guy from Ringside News.
Oh, fuck that guy. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll live with that. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. No, you're fine. So the disappointing thing about Ariel is that he is very good. Like, in MMA. And I think I saw some of his NBA coverage because I'll be honest, like, I was a big fan of his for a long time because of the way he covered MMA and the way he did his interviews. His interviews with Dana White back in the day, he was asking Dana White tough questions. And they were, and like Dana loved him so much that they kept bringing him to all the things. But then one day he decided to spoil the Brock news, which is what a journalist does, right? Yeah. Like there's a big fight, like Brock Lesnar's returning to the UFC for UFC 200. You catch wind of it, you're able to confirm it. You break that news before the company does. That's just what you do. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, he's been basically banned. Like he hasn't been able to get any kind of access to any of to Dana or to, you know, I know Lorenzo's gone, but anybody from the TKO group, they just, you know, they don't give him access anymore. But so he very much was the top guy in his field for a long time. And I don't know that anybody's ever going to be able to replace him. He's, you know, he's just that good. Like his interview skills are tremendous. But so, but back to CM Punk. Mm-hmm. I loved this interview. Very about it. I agree with a lot of it. I don't agree with the assessment that AEW is not a business and that they don't care about ticket sales and that they don't care about pay-per-views. I do think that they care about them. I think that they have just a difference of opinion how to get to those points. Mm-hmm. And I think CM Punk's idea of what wrestling is, I happen to agree with a lot of what he thinks wrestling should be. I think that if I were to, like, if you were to ask me who would I rather hang out with, like the Young Bucks or CM Punk, me, I'm a bit cantankerous. I'm probably going to want to have a steak with CM Punk, very likely. That's just who I am. I happen to enjoy jerks for some reason. It's just me. But
if given the choice between those guys, I'd rather go hang out with, I'd rather try to find John Moxley, quite frankly.
Yes, yes. Yeah, John Moxley too.
That's the answer to that question.
Yeah. I disagree with the criticism that AEW is not a business that's trying to grow and trying to succeed. They're not growing right now at the moment. I think they will once they get this TV deal, and maybe that would lead to something else. But you know, the only company that's actually like super successful right now and getting bigger is the WWE, and it's difficult in landscape, but I'm not going to sit here and say that AEW is a failure because they're not growing. They're stable, right? They're not like, people want to say the term flatlining, right? And this, I think this is a Bischoff term, flatlining, because they're not going like this. Well, you know what? That's stability to me. Yeah. Like that is, especially with the decline in in cable homes and all those things, like it's stability.
They're the number three show in cable television for entertainment. They're number three. Raw is one. Vanderpump is two. They're three. Well, how is that a failure? And it's funny that Bischoff would see stability as a failure because he knows nothing but spikes and crashes. A lot more crashes, quite frankly. Like, and it just, I get so tired of the narrative that it's a failure. Like, businesses have ups and downs. And like what Dave's always said, when number one is hot, it's hard to be number two. Right. Yeah. And I do think they had some creative fumbles last year that have hurt them. But I mean, said they had two recent dynamites for over 10,000 people apiece in both Boston and in Toronto. They had a really good crowd last night or two nights ago, right? Like they're doing okay. It's not phenomenal, but I mean, like, it's not like, dude, we lived through WCW.
Yeah.
Like we're not talking about, like, I might talk about Dying Days WCW. You should watch like 1991 WCW. Like there's some bad crowds there. There's some bad crowds, and Eric Bischoff led WCW. So I mean, like, I just Eric Bischoff is the worst of the grifters, and Punk too. Punk's like, you know, you just want to, like, you know, you're trying to get five stars from some goof. It's like, oh, that's a goof that you talk to. I love that we can finally say that the Punk camp is CM Punk.
Yeah,
like the veneer is finally off. We can just all finally go, yeah, the Punk camp, quote unquote, is CM Punk.
We found the leaker in the AEW locker room. He now works for WWE.
Yeah. And when he gets healthy again, leaks will come, because they always do. Like, that guy talks to the media and always has. He comes from the Paul Heyman / Eddie Gilbert school of knowing how to work the media.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I don't agree with that assessment. Have they made some mistakes? Several.
Yeah, several.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Could they have booked things differently? Of course. Right. Would you know, he's like, when he got signed to AEW, he said that he was told it was going to be one thing and it wasn't. I think what he was told it was going to be was, you know, something that was powerful enough to potentially overtake WWE, and it's just not what it is.
It's not real. Right? That was never.
But I think I'll be honest, I think a lot of us wanted it to be that. I know I personally, when it came around, because it was like the Vince, like the last days of the Vince era were so bad. It's like to where I grew up my whole life watching WWE. And it just got so, so bad by like 2017 that I just couldn't anymore. I just could not watch it anymore. And so when AEW did come around, TNA was basically dead at the time. AEW comes around. I'm like, okay, finally, maybe this will take over. And that's what I wanted. And I think there were some weeks where like demo rating, Dynamite was pretty damn close to Raw. Mm-hmm. Pretty close. And so I was like, okay, maybe we're going to get there. So that's what I wanted it to be. And then it just didn't become that. Because, you know, Vince left, the booking got stronger in WWE, they got hot, you know, they get Cody, right? And then now they're just like, dude, they got NXT, 13,000 people for NXT on Friday. Ridiculous, right? Like a ridiculous house for NXT. So they're just off to the races. So they're so far ahead. It'll take like a catastrophe for AEW to be able to catch up. You know what I mean?
And here's where I'm at is I never thought that they would overtake WWE like that. And I was never interested in that because I was a WCW fan, and a lot of my fandom of WCW, they were smaller than WWE. Like, yeah. I drank Pepsi right for when I was growing up. Like, I like Taco Bell. That was like again, I've always been more like, if I'm gonna get a burger, I'm gonna go to Five Guys. Like, I like having the alternative company, and that's all I ever wanted. That's why I don't get mad about what AEW is, because I'm fine if they don't. Again, it's not my business. I don't care. I don't care if AEW is able to siphon off WWE fans, because I don't think that they should. I think they should. I've said this on our show a million times. I think that they should be cultivating their own fans, right? And not trying. We've said, what's our phrase? Fuck the casuals, right? Because the casuals don't like what AEW does, and that's fine. Like, there's people that go to restaurants that don't like this. I'm going to get that. Like, there's not enough of that in wrestling to think of, like, man, I'm not a fan of Coke. I'm going to drink Pepsi, right? And that's all I've ever, like, Pepsi is never going to overtake Coke, never. But we don't sit there and call Pepsi a dramatic failure because it doesn't sell what Coke does. Like, Pepsi is super successful, and it's the challenger brand. And it's always done a good job aligning itself up with a different audience. So, like, I never had those expectations for AEW, right? That's why I guess that's why I don't like these arguments, because it's like I didn't ever see that as being a possibility. Maybe I'm a fatalist. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think you're just a realist. And I think that's okay. So now, you know, here's where the grift is. And I don't want to talk about Bischoff. I actually listened to some of what Bischoff said, because he has Ant Evans on his new podcast. Ant Evans is he was the guy that he was a UFC guy that helped build their YouTube channel and mm-hmm. built their Hall of Fame. And he went over to TNA, and like their YouTube channel is a pretty sustainable income for them. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I want to listen to what Ant has to say about YouTube and building YouTube and YouTube growth. Cause guess what? I'm now in the YouTube business with this channel. Starting next week, we should be able to get ads on our feed. So that's what we're.
Wow.
Yeah. We've almost reached the threshold. So we're coming up on it. So I was like, I wanted to listen to what Ant had to say. So, and look, not everything that Bischoff says is bad. A lot of it is, but that's okay. So, but I don't want to make this about him. But here's where the grift is, right? It's they're never going to be successful to a lot of these people in the podcast business, the Cornettes and Bischoff and all these guys, Alfred. They're never going to be successful until they beat WWE. When they get their next TV deal, they're going to be very profitable, right? They're going to be a sustainable business that's going to be around much longer than WCW was. Not like the Mid-Atlantic and all, like
WCW, you know,
WCW proper when Turner bought it from Crockett. That WCW. Yes, so they're going to be sustainable for a lot longer than that, because they have an owner that is committed to it. They're going to get another TV deal that's probably going to get them to be highly profitable. So they're going to be around a long time. So then they're not going to be saying, oh, well, they're losing money every year. So they're not going to have that argument anymore. So the argument is, the goalpost moving is going to be, well, they're not, they didn't get $5 billion like Raw did, right? Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they can do Wembley, right? But then they'll say, well, they didn't create as much revenue as WrestleMania, right? So like, it's always going to be compared to, so stop chasing WWE. And on its own, listen to the grifters, because the grifters are only going to get you in trouble, right? They're going to only get you chasing ghosts that you don't want to chase. Like JD said, there's like, you know, graveyards littered with the bones of wrestling companies that tried to be like WWE, right?
I love
like
when you quote me.
Yeah, it's a great quote. you know, so don't even go there. Don't even go there. So like you're not going to be that, right? Unless something catastrophic happens, but continuing to be the best version of you that you can be, right? And so that's what AEW needs to be, and they need to continue to hone their identity and stop trying. And I don't think they're doing it as much anymore this year.
No, I agree.
Trying to catch WWE, because, you know, just fucking keep putting on awesome shows, right? Like, that's all I care about. Put on awesome shows. Make me care about the TV show.
I think in 2019, and 2020 is hard to count because it's such a weird year, but in 2019 and 2021 and most of 2022, they were really about establishing their own identity. Right. Yeah. And their shows were different. And then late 2022 into 2023, I really think they started listening to those grifters. I think that Tony was listening to the wrong folks, and we have to grow. We have to do this. And it turns out one of those folks he might have been listening to, who was being paid as a consultant, might be working in WWE right now. Yeah. So they started really chasing those WWE fans. And I'll maintain that they turned off a lot of their fan base, because I'm one of them. I came on this show and was like, like very lukewarm to everything AEW did in 2023. Like, and I find that now they're really just committing to what they do. Hey, we do awesome wrestling. I like they've kind of adopted. If you notice, Edge, Adam Copeland said, "We're the best." What would he say? AEW were the best wrestlers.
Tony Khan's been trying to get that over. The announcer, saying that's like that's their word. The big boys
big
play.
Boys play. That's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or the NWA had one too. The NWA, they had something like that too in the late 80s. Like, I like that. That is how you differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And they have to stick with that, because that is their brand. That is what they are. We talked about this. We've said this ad nauseum. Be who you are. Don't worry about who they are.
Yeah.
And like, I heard people that were mad about Copeland's promo Wednesday night. I thought it was good. I thought that, you know, Punk went out of his way.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts about this, because we have not talked. I have complicated thoughts, but I want to hear.
I'll go first, then I want to hear what you got to say. I thought it was fine. We've talked about how that Tony is terminally online, and most of their guys are too, except for Moxley. Like, so I think the company kind of thought that Punk did more damage than he probably did.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
I think they kind of overestimated. However, I think that if you bring out Adam Copeland, he came out there and I thought he did a fantastic rah-rah speech. Like, I thought he did a great job. Like, that was a guy who clearly loves what he's doing. And I like that they put a guy who's so associated with the other side out there to be like, hey man, I'm here. I love this. I love this place. This is what I want to do. Fuck those guys. Fuck that guy specifically. This is awesome. And I thought it, for me, it landed. I don't think there's anything wrong with specifically a challenger brand saying, not like what Tony would do when he would talk shit, because I think that just that wakes sleeping giants a little bit. But there's nothing wrong with saying, this is why we're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we are awesome. Not them, us. This is what we do. So it didn't bother me. I thought it was pretty good. And then he introduced, you know, Ospreay, and that went into that awesome match with Hobbs.
Which is introduced who?
Great.
He introduced
Ospreay.
Who?
Ospreay.
No, he introduced Ospreay.
Ospreay. He did. He did.
He said it in like the most Canadian way possible.
He is in fact from Canada. So, you know, he did say Will Ospreay.
Yeah. So I wasn't as high on the promo as you, but I also didn't have like a problem with it. I just found it to be completely unnecessary, because I didn't have like this negative feeling going into the show about what AEW is and about their standing in the pro wrestling space. Off of that CM Punk promo, when John Moxley came out and did his rah-rah promo after Brawl Out and after Punk had, you know, got suspended and the
Bucks
got, I found that to be very necessary, and I thought it was perfect for the moment. He met the moment perfectly. I found this to be like, and I don't know whose idea it was. I get the feeling it might have been Adam Copeland's idea.
I think so too.
Because Tony Khan had hurt feelings over it. That's just the way I saw it. I was like, hey, my boss has hurt feelings. I'm gonna go out there and cheer this guy up, and I'm gonna go put him over and put his company over and just talk about how much I love it here and all the negative talk you can kiss my ass all the negative talk. But that said, I think Edge is a very good promo. So he delivered it well. It didn't land with me because I just didn't feel like I needed to hear it. Like, it didn't, I wasn't in a place where I was like, okay, man, I'm so down on the dumps of AEW. I really wish like some 50-year-old WWE guy will come out and cheer me up a little bit. I just didn't have that in me. So in my opinion, I was like, they're giving life to this thing that Punk did that I don't think they even need to give life to. It's just totally unnecessary for me anyway.
So I get what you're saying. I think that we think that stuff's always for us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily think that speech was necessarily directed at you or me. I think that speech was directed at the people who worked there, who might have been feeling it. And Tony specifically. Yeah. Well, never underestimate the shallowness of a billionaire.
Yes, like, yes.
They are, let's be honest, man, when your whole life people cater to you and kowtow to you because you're wealthy, you get very up in your feelings. And who am I to talk about somebody being up in their feelings? But I mean, it's true. It's like you're easily swayed. Yeah. Right. So I think that was a little bit for Tony. I think it was a lot for the people that worked there, because Punk was a guy who did the rah-rah AEW thing. And then he goes on Ariel Helwani and talks about what a joke it is. And so it's like, oh, so all that stuff you said was complete and total bullshit. Yeah. So I don't think that was necessary. Well, I mean, clearly the fans didn't feel it. They didn't go there to like be lukewarm to AEW. That was a great crowd. The collision crowd on Saturday was great. Like, their crowds are smaller, but I mean, like, they're into what's going on. Like, I think the AEW shows feel like the old shows again. So, I mean, I think that was more of a, hey guys, because sometimes you have to address your people, right? And I'm not talking about fans, like the troops. Yeah. Like you said, I don't,
you know what it reminded me of?
Yeah. Wait,
I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Actually, I'm showing my age with the t-shirt I'm wearing, Stone Cold and Bret. It's my favorite WrestleMania match this Mania week. So
it's the best one ever.
Yeah. So, and I made this on my illegal t-shirt site.
I'll say I'd never seen that shirt before. I don't wonder why.
Yeah, yeah. No, I made it. I sold it to myself, and my t-shirt site got shut down by Vince. Bastards. They caught me for that illegal stuff I was doing, but,
A dickhead.
So, yeah. So we actually got, I'm going to go to the chat here in a few minutes, but I did see King of the North's question right here. And I want to address it because I think it's a good question. He rarely has I'm just kidding. No, he always has good questions. So he said, Mike, how would you compare the Edge speech deal to the one Eric Young did? What he's referencing is Eric Young did a speech, kind of a rah-rah speech for the troops. And I want to say, I can't remember this. It was Kissimmee, Florida, or the town like right outside of Orlando for the taping. No, it was Sacrifice. It was New Orleans. It was New Orleans for the TNA show in New Orleans. Can't remember the name of it. I think it might have been Sacrifice. It was the first show right after Scott D'Amore had gotten fired. So Eric Young came out to address the troops, address the audience, but really kind of give a rah-rah speech to the team, essentially. Because that was a necessary thing. They were that company was broken. They had written like a love letter to Scott D'Amore. They sent it to Leonard Asper to try to get Scott's job back. Like it was like a dire situation. People thought Josh Alexander was leaving. All this stuff's going haywire. We thought the whole company was burning to the ground. Turns out it's the same as it was before Scott left. Right. Not much has changed. I felt it was necessary. I just didn't think that he delivered it very well. And also, he had actually done one previous to Hard to Kill, right? He came out like when Hard to Kill came on, he did the same promo. And, but that was before Scott had gotten fired. It was just more of a, hey, TNA is back type of promo. I thought that one was actually better. And then he does the same promo a couple months later. And I just didn't think that it was as effective. I like Eric Young as a promo. I think he's a very good promo, but I think Edge is a better promo. I think that his delivery was better. I just did not feel like it was necessary. Like AEW was not in the state that they were in after Brawl Out. No. You just had a guy that hadn't worked there since July of last year talk a little bit of shit on an MMA podcast, right? Mm-hmm. And really the only guy that he only called out Tony Khan by name, and of course Eric Young and Jungle Boy. Right? I don't think he ever mentioned the Young Bucks, but we all know he was like, you know, alluding to them. So that's just my opinion. I didn't feel like it was completely necessary. But again, I don't think it hurt the show. I don't think it helped the show. I don't think it did anything. I think it was, if anything, all it did was cheer Tony up a little bit to have a guy that he probably looks up to quite a bit in Adam Copeland go out there and say nice things about him and his company.
I like rah-rah speeches, quite frankly. I am a rah-rah speech guy. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do. I'm a high school wrestling coach, man. I live and die by that stuff. So I like, I'm a firm believer in affirmations and, like, you know, rallying the people you care about. So for me, that kind of shit lands. But I mean,
yeah,
like, your mileage may vary. I don't think it detracted from the show. The fans were happy to see, like, they heard, you know, you think you know him, and they go fucking ape shit whenever, you know, Copeland comes out there. Like, the guy still has one of the best entrances in professional wrestling. Like, he's like, you hear that, and the people, like, they know Alterbridge is coming, and they're like, oh, ah, like, it just, it's one of those type of a moments. So, I mean, I thought for an intro to a Dynamite, it went just fine. And it, you know, I'd rather see 1,000 Adam Copeland rah-rah speeches than one more Billy Gunn, Jay White match.
Was it, okay. All time. Where does it rank on your all time bad AEW matches? Cause for me, it's, I think, and I'll be honest, I've never seen an episode of Dark. And I've never seen the new TV show for Dark. What's it called? Ring of Honor. I've never seen the new Ring of Honor TV. So I could not tell. So I'm talking about Dynamite specifically. Where would that rank? Like, your all time worst?
Oh, it's top five. Bad. Yeah. Worst. I mean, like, it's up there with the Dark Order thing. I don't know if it's worse than the Dark Order thing. That thing was that was really bad.
That was horrendous, but man, they're like, they made there, Jay White look like such a geek by him just getting his ass beat for 20 minutes.
Really?
oh, here we go. King has a good one. He says it's right there with Britt Baker versus Big Swole dental match.
Whoa, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that one cost Swole her career. Yeah.
Yeah. it kind of did, actually. Yeah. Oof, that was bad. I mean, like, it's hard. There's been some bad matches on Dynamite, but yeah. I mean, like, that Dark Order one stands out because of who was in the ring. And I've always kind of thought Jay White's a little overrated as far as work goes. Like, he had some really boring matches in New Japan. So, yeah. I mean, like, but this was...
What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio, and then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I know Tony is loyal to Billy Gunn. You know, he's been there from Jump, and you know, the Acclaimed are Tony's act and they love it, but God, this whole thing sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because it's like it's still better than a lot of the garbage we had to sit through in 2023. But I mean, when the rest of the show is pretty good, it really sticks out how bad that was.
All right. Well, I'm going to get to the chat. The chat is kind of lively right now. Let's see. We have IO Productions in the house. IO, he says Jack Perry's never escaping that punk cloud. It's going to be, I don't think he has the talent to be able to get himself over to the extent that he would escape that. That's going to follow him for a long time.
What's unfortunate is Jack does not have Luke's charisma.
No. We got Brent and Roses. The interview made it seem like you never really wanted to fit in, honestly. CM Punk. Yeah. You know what? It seemed like, Tony, Joe Lanza said something I always really identified with. He said Tony Khan worked really hard to get CM Punk back into pro wrestling. But he didn't have the leadership skills to be able to keep him. But honestly, like once Punk got there and he saw that it wasn't like this like super structured environment and all the stuff that he fought against, like that's what AEW was. CM Punk was fighting against the WWE. That's what AEW was. But he just saw it as like kind of like a rinky-dink promotion, and he wanted to go right back to WWE as soon as he got there.
It sure feels like that. And a lot of the stuff he said really rings hollow. Because again, all the changes, all the stuff that he wanted was there. And it's like Cody said, we're a startup. And he was there in year two, you know? So, I mean, like, I don't know. Like I said, I questioned a couple weeks ago whether the whole experiment was worth it. And I think ultimately it was, but I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on that because I think
the question last week was like, was it a mistake to do that? And I think it failed, but I don't think you got to take that swing.
I agree with what we came to last week is like it's only a failure. It's only a fail if you didn't learn from anything.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. I don't know if the people who needed to learn something have actually learned something yet.
We'll see. John Muse says AEW just has to produce their product and keep a stable TV presence that allows them to survive. Yeah, don't go into pissing contests with WWE. That's only gonna get you guys out of business. USVA guy says, do you guys feel that the complete lack of infrastructure in AEW has doomed them in fandom's eyes since their inception? They seem to be trying to create it now, but is it a little too late? I feel like they grew too fast. They outgrew their infrastructure pretty quickly, and then they started to try to scramble and get to that point. And I think that CM Punk was also making that point during the Ariel interview. And I think that CM Punk and several other stars were like leaking that information to Bischoff and Cornette, who have been kind of sounding the alarms about those things. I think I think if you were to ask Tony, like outside of a radio interview where he doesn't feel the need to plug his shit every 5 seconds, I think he'd probably tell you, he's like, hey, we got really big, really fast and we weren't prepared for it. But now we're trying to kind of hone in on that stuff and build our infrastructure. You saw them hire Mike Mansouri, right? You saw him hire the guy, he's actually a former WWE employee, but the guy that just took over, I think he's like their COO now. You're seeing them hire these like executives that have like real experience on how to manage a business and stuff. Because before that, he's a billionaire, but it's very much a mom and pop shop. They had like that's why the Young Bucks were EVPs, because they just didn't know anybody else to hire. So like Kenny Omega, that's how you got them locked into those deals. Brandi Rhodes, Young Bucks, Dana Massey running merch, right? And like it was very much like a family owned business where now, because they did get so big and they are about to get this big TV deal, you're going to start to see them hire more and more experienced executives that are qualified for their positions.
This USVA guy new to our chat, so I don't know him very well. Do you own your own business? Would be my question. Have you ever owned a business? Because I have, and it's difficult. And I never ran a thing the size of AEW, you know, and I think you're right. I don't think they were prepared for the kind of growth they had, because I think the people sit there, well, this isn't WWE. And it's like, well, how could it be? Like that is a well-established company that's been around since 1963 or 1982, depending on who you want to talk, which side of the argument you want to believe, you know.
National WWE has been around since Vince took over. We'll probably just say that.
But he lifted the structure from his dad. Like the bones were there. It's not just,
his dad didn't have like a merch department and like, you know what I mean? But he grew with it. You know what I mean?
But they had something to sell.
Yes.
Like they had a product to sell. When you have a product to sell, it's different. They started from nothing. Like you said, who else, who were they going to hire? And I think that's an unfair thing is, well, they didn't have infrastructure. And I like Alex, well, CM Punk was hired to be, as we've learned, a consultant, right? How were you interested in helping? Brian Danielson is a guy who's interested in helping. I could tell you for a fact, John Moxley is a guy who's tried to help and tried to like make things better. You either try to make things better or you're self-serving. You're interested in pretend in your thing. And Punk is the kind of guy who, if he doesn't get what he wants or what he thinks is the right way, he goes and talks about how bad things are, right? Like he's a very toxic trait within a workplace environment.
Yeah.
Right. Like, Mike, you and I are leaders. Would you like a guy like CM Punk on your team?
Nah, so that's the difficult thing, right? No, I would not. Yeah, not on my team. I would get rid of him in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Right. But would I take him on? No, me, because I have confidence in my leadership abilities, I would give him a shot. Yeah. Like, I have given people a shot that, like, I have brought in people with baggage a lot of times, because guess who else has baggage?
Yeah, we all do.
I got in a lot of trouble early in my career. So people gave me shots. So I'm always going to give people a shot. Even if they've had multiple shots, I'm going to try them under my leadership style to see if I can get them better. And if I can't, then they get to move along.
I'm a firm believer in you give people opportunities, but when they've shown you their true colors, you got to go. And like, we had a lot of people saying after Brawl Out that they should let him go. And it turned out that would have, that was the move. They should have let him go.
And, right? And he, to his credit, he said that's what he wanted. So we got Terrence Sullivan in the chat, TNA fan. He had corrected me. No Surrender was the name of the PLE in New Orleans. And then King of the North claps back, says, ban that guy for saying PLE.
Yeah. Amen. That's what they say. Hey,
technically, it wasn't a pay-per-view. Technically, that show was on TNA Plus. So, but I don't want to, you know, get
paying to view it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, let's see who else we got in the chat. And then we have to do roster cuts, and we're gonna let JD go to bed. Dan V900 says, here's a fun fact: the demo high point of the show was Gunn and White. Is that true? JD, did you see that?
I never
read the quarters.
Yeah, I never. Well, Brandon makes you pay for them now, so I'm not doing that. Like, I'm far too cheap for that.
Yeah, you know, maybe. But the aggregate accounts on Twitter always they post a picture and then they just put like underneath Brandon Thurston, you know.
No, those, I don't go to those sites. Those are unethical. Yeah. I was going to learn it tomorrow when I read the Observer. If you tell me that, I believe you. That's fucking wild. Although it wasn't it wasn't a star-studded episode of Dynamite last night, quite frankly.
It opened up hot, and I'm not I wouldn't be surprised if it fell off a cliff, because it started with Copeland, and then we get right into Ospreay, and Will Hobbs, and then you get into Danielson and Archer. After that, it was kind of like, ooh. And then I found the closing show angle to be pretty good, but
I like the closing angle.
The rest of the show was kind of rough.
Yeah. But I mean, they're giving people a chance. Maybe you shouldn't do that all the time.
You know? Yeah. Adney Johnson says the worst Dynamite match ever was Britain Rebel versus Nyla and Vicky. Okay. You know what? I think that might be the winner.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. If you say it's that bad, I believe you. I have zero memory of that. Your brain is conditioned to block out that kind of trauma.
See, Cola the Legend says, I've always said Punk is the McNulty of pro wrestling.
I don't get it.
Someone's have to explain that one to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad it's not just me. That went over my head.
Brent corrects me. Says, Kosha Irby, the new COO. Yes. Big fan of Vince, that guy. Cola the Legend says, do you think Punk thought he was walking into a slightly better WWE when he initially joined AEW? No, I think he thought that he was walking into an alternative, but I think he thought he was walking into an alternative that could challenge WWE. And then when he got there, he quickly realized they just weren't built for that at the moment. Right. And he was disappointed by that. And he also felt they didn't have a strong leader because, you know, of the way he was, you know, and I'm like, okay, look, you know, you're probably right about that, but he did not want to be a leader, and he probably felt like he had to become one, and he doesn't have leadership.
No. Okay.
Because he feels like he has to fight to people to get them to do what they want.
Mike, he thinks he is a leader.
That is true.
The interview with him and Randy Orton, let's go lead this locker room. Like, and Chris Jericho talked about that. CM Punk thinks he's this great leader. CM Punk sees himself as this charismatic champion for the boys who's out there doing the right thing. He thinks he's a great leader. I think he's a guy, when he doesn't get his way, he pouts.
Yeah. And when people don't do what he wants,
Yeah. He's not a good leader.
Yeah. And giving corrective action to him is fighting in chokeholds, which not when you're in a business environment. That's not how it works. Right. In most businesses, you go to jail for that.
Man, that finger, when you point it, there's 5 points, there's 4 pointing right back at you. Actually, 3 pointing right back at you, man. Like,
yeah. King says Mike is Court Bauer with Teddy Hart and low key. I wouldn't go that far.
Wow.
And Io says, release the Wembley footage. Yes. Get rid of the NDAs, because I think the NDAs are not protecting Punk. They're protecting AEW. So just, you guys want the truth out there? Get rid of the NDAs, let it all come out, and then release the footage. You know, like send it to TMZ or something. Let's see Tony, it. I want to see it.
Tony don't have those kind of balls, man.
No. But all right, hey, before I let you go, JD, we had a lot more to talk about, but we went on about that season stuff a lot longer. We were going to talk Ronda Rousey. We were going to talk. I want to talk Nakajima. There's more Vince news out there, let's get
keep me out. Let's keep me out. 15 minutes. Give me 15-minute overrun, and then you can do the
okay.
Let's go. Let's do some hits. Let's do some quick hits.
Quick hits. AEW roster cuts. We got AEW now. If there is going to be a major criticism of Tony besides lack of leadership skills, he shouldn't say something so profound, knowing that he could very well go back on it one day. He told Dave Meltzer 2 years ago that when you're in AEW and we give you a 3-year contract, you can guarantee that you're going to get 3 years out of that contract. I knew then when he said it was a mistake, because at some point he's going to have to release people, not for cause, not for punishment reasons, but because they just don't have any business being there. They're not producing, or they have too many people and they got to cut people, right? It is a natural way to do business. I have been saying for a while, they probably need to trim this roster down because it is a difficult thing to manage and they don't have the infrastructure to do it. And we're seeing that play out. So this week on Monday, now I don't think that these roster cuts had anything to do with CM Punk. Okay.
No.
People think that I disagree with that. I think these were coming, and I think that more are coming. But he got rid of Stu Grayson, Dasha Curate, who was the ring announcer, Anthony Henry, who Rockstar sputted his way back into a job. He's already back, I guess. Gravity, who stinks. Jose, the assistant. I guess that's Rush's assistant, right? Now, mm-hmm. Slim J is a Ring of Honor guy. I'll be honest, I did not know who that person was until he got cut. Parker Boudreau, who was also got fired from NXT. Now, Parker, this one's funny because Parker has started in AAA. And everybody thought that he had left AEW to go to AAA, and he took to Twitter on Monday to say that no, he is in fact still with AEW, and he got fired later that day.
Whoa.
What makes it even funnier is when I heard the roster cuts were coming, I said, "Hey, Parker, don't answer the phone today, buddy." And then, sure enough, he got fired like less than an hour later. So
it sounds like a lot of these guys were not just trimming the fat. Stu Grayson refused. Like the story, this is from Joe Lanza. And this is just rumor and innuendo. Yeah. I'm not saying it's happened. Yes. Is that, you know, he didn't want to do a job and didn't want to come to work. Tony Khan came out and said the media call today that the boys missed a couple shows.
The Tate twins,
The Tate twins, the boys, as they're called. Like that they missed a couple of shows. Like they didn't show up for work. Anthony Henry got hurt working in Indy and screwed up their tournament. So that felt like, and then it seemed like when Tony was in the scrim day, I think he kind of like, oh, that was probably wrong of me. Like, I think that he had second thoughts about that, as Tony does in these scrums sometimes.
That was really the only one that got any backlash.
Yeah. Cause he's like, oh, I did. Yeah. I think he was mad that he got his jaw broken by an AEW contracted wrestler, ironically enough. Yeah. Like,
on an indie show that he was allowed to work.
On an indie show that he was allowed to work, but it seemed like he was mad because it screwed that up. It seemed like some of these things were with cause. Dasha's the one that surprised me the most. She's on TV every week.
Yeah, she does. Doesn't she do Collision, or is that Justin?
Collision. No, yeah. She does Collision.
So Justin's just going to do both, or they probably got another person?
Well, he can work 2 days a week, I guess.
Yeah. So Jorah Jol, Robo, the Punjabi Lion. I forgot he was there too, but I actually, on my old Combat Republic site, I was doing some stuff for Fight TV, and they got me to, they gave me free pay-per-view like codes. So I can write articles about some indie shows that they were promoting, and Robo the Punjabi Lion was on one of them. And then I actually sent my recap to some Impact people, because I thought this would be like a young guy, like a blue chip prospect for Impact to be able to sign. And then like a year later, he got picked up by AEW. The problem is is that in that AEW construct, their the framework that they have, if you're not out there working the indies and hustling yourself, you're not going to get any better, because you're only going to get maybe one match a week. And a lot of times it's squash matches on Ring of Honor. So these people just aren't improving. He's never improved. So I'm excited to see what that guy can do out there, because I really did feel like he was a blue chip prospect that was super raw, that needs like his skills need to be honed in. So let's see. So other than that, Stu Grayson didn't want to come to work. Dasha, that was crazy. You know, Gravity, he was just brought on TV way too early.
To make Bandito, like they're doing a solid to Bandito. It's his brother, and yeah. Gravity just not that good yet. He could be in time, but he's not there yet.
Yeah. Hold on. IO Production says, why is Paige Van Zandt still employed? I don't think she is.
She got released. She got released like 2 years ago. Like she wanted to do it, and then she had like second thoughts. They talked about that a long time ago.
Yeah. No, she's been gone a long time. But yeah. So you know, when you speak in absolutes, sometimes it comes to backfire on you, and that's what happened to Tony. Does he come off looking a little bit hypocritical? Yes. Is it necessary to do stuff like this? Yes, I think it is. And in fact, like, I don't want to go and like do like fantasy booking, kind of like what I did on text earlier, JD. I want to like fantasy book like who else should go next, but they have like a long list of guys who just aren't either they're not coming to work, they're not getting booked, or they're hurt all the time, or whatever it is. You need to just move on. There's a lot of hungry talent out there on the indie scene that want jobs and want to get better. You got to recycle your roster a little bit. And there's like some old, like, you know, 40-year-old WWE fires that are just there for mailbox money that you could probably get rid of and hire a younger independent talent that would probably work a lot harder for you and get you the same amount of production, you know?
Mm-hmm. No argument. The roster's too big.
Yeah. Okay. Quick. Vince McMahon lawsuit. So I hate to get into it. We don't have much time left, but Vince is obviously still a creep. But there was this thing where his alleged victim, right, wrote him a love letter. He released it to the New York Post. The lawyer then said, well, she was forced to write that. And there's actually this whole thing. And very likely, like, he was coercing her into writing the love letter. So that's what that was.
He's a scumbag.
Yeah, very much a scumbag. Katsuhiko Nakajima leaving All Japan. I mean, he's got to go to New Japan, right?
The House of Torture needs a new leader.
God, don't say that. Don't say that.
I honest to God can't think of what else they do with him.
I mean, IWGP champ, right? I mean, like honestly, Samoa Joe was my favorite world champion. But what they were doing with Nakajima in All Japan, I thought was so awesome.
Oh, I agree. He was great.
You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. He was fantastic. And he put over a young boy. Like, they're trying to build a guy in Yuma Anzai right now. So that's a bold move that All Japan's doing. I have to assume Nakajima's coming to New Japan. He's not going to fit in AEW. And WWE is not going to want a 5'9 guy with a chip on his shoulder who will kick someone in the face just for fun.
Yeah. And they... Like, he's very similar to Kenta in that, and they broke Kenta, and he never came back. Like, he was just never the same, so I don't want that. King of the North says, absolutely not. Yoda Tsuji gets that belt first. Yeah, I think we can all
agree. I don't think so. I bet Yoda Tsuji does not win this weekend. My money is on Mox.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying Moxley should get the title, and he hasn't been on AEW that much lately, so.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, JD, dude, I will just let you go, and then chat, stick around. JD's got to get to bed. It's super late where he's at. It is only 6:30 where I'm at, and my family left for like the next hour, so I got nothing else to do. So bye-bye, JD. Support his Kickstarter coming up, and JD will leave a project coming out soon. So support JD.
Bye, guys.
See ya. All right, guys, it is just me. I'm going to stick around. I'm going to pull up the WrestleMania card. WrestleMania 41 card. Let's see. Oh God, I gotta go to the WWE website for this shit. All right, so if you guys are in the chat and you got some thoughts on hold on, Antonio. He said Noah might be it. He already left Noah, brother. He's not going back to Noah. No, Noah's not bringing him back in. Io says Zack Sabre Jr. deserves that belt. You know what? I just don't see Zack Sabre Jr. ever getting that belt. And King of the North says Sex Trafficomania. Yeah, you know what? Like, I was questioning whether or not I wanted to do the WrestleMania like preview. And Voices of Wrestling are doing it. Wrestling Observer is doing it. Like all the people that I look up to, I think we can cover the Vince stuff and then still cover some of what they do on television. I'm never going to be on a podcast that covers Raw and SmackDown and NXT every week. I just can't do it. But as you guys tell, as you guys can tell, we don't cover any regular TV show every single week. We only talk the news. So that's all that we do here. But look, WrestleMania is a big card. I'm actually going to watch it. I typically watch it every year. Last year I went to WrestleMania. It was my birthday present last year, so I actually got to go. So I'm going to cover it. But I understand if people don't really care about what's going on at WrestleMania this weekend. There's a lot of other wrestling to check out this weekend, and I totally get it. But I happen to be a little bit interested in what they got going on. So a 6-woman tag match. We're gonna do Saturday first. 6-woman tag match. We got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control. I'm very interested in this because it is going to be, outside of the Royal Rumble, it's going to be Jade Cargill's, first match in WWE. So I'm very interested to see what she looks like. And I thought the look of having Bianca, Jade, and Naomi in the same ring pointing the WrestleMania sign, I thought that was super powerful. I thought that was really cool. And they're clearly positioning Jade to be a big star. Now, can she live up to the hype? Can she live up to the moment? I think that's going to be the big key. And we'll see, because she, as far as in the ring goes, got two left feet sometimes. Very talented person, has an aura, super charismatic, but can she actually go in the ring? Well, we're going to find out. You know, they've had her in training for a little bit. And you know what I'll do is I will go ahead and present screen here and pull up the match card. So yeah, but I think that Bianca, you're not going to have her lose in her first match. Let's see. What say you guys? So we got Rossi Biddle says Bianca turns heel. You know what? I don't think she's ever been a heel before. So that I didn't see it being previewed, but maybe. Then we got Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. You know what? Like, I'll be honest. I think this will be a good match. The outcome, I don't think, is all that important. If Mike's booking Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee goes over, but I don't think it's neither here nor there. But it's probably going to be a pretty good match. You know, say whatever you want about Dirty Dom, but he is like, he gets heat from the crowd, and some people say it's ironic heat, and that's probably true. But the crowd's going to go crazy for the match. And they did last year too, during the Mysterio versus the Rey versus Dominic match. So then we got the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship 6-pack tag team ladder match. Judgment Day versus Awesome Truth versus New Day versus DIY versus New Catch Republic versus A-Town Down Under. I'm curious what you guys think. Like, who do you guys think is going to win that match? Because I'll be honest, I don't really have like a strong opinion on it. I personally think that they're going to go with Awesome Truth because it's WWE, it's a comedy tag team, and they would get a huge pop. And it would be kind of like when Zack Ryder and what was Brian Myers, Kurt Hawkins, Hawkins and Ryder won at WrestleMania. It'd be kind of something like that, right? So I'm thinking they're going to go Awesome Truth. There's people out there that think that maybe the Motor City Machine Guns are showing up there. I don't see that. I think they're going to AEW. Rossi says, if Priest loses the tag titles, he will cash in on McIntyre. Yeah, I mean, I think I could see that, but I think that we see a title change here. Now let's go. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, Battle of the Usos. You know, I think we got to go Jey, right? We got to go Jey? He's over right now. He's got a lot of momentum. I think we gotta go Jey on this title. Now here, let's go to the chat. It says Danny V says they have said that both titles need to be taken to win it, so they feel like they're separating them. Where R-Truth will take down one set, but not the other. Yeah, they'll probably do something like that. Big E, Dan Goucher says Big E returns and coaches New Day to victory. I could see that. I think that would be cool. And then Cola the Ledger Lodger, sorry, says I believe you mean Yeet versus No Yeet. I'm not into the Yeet stuff. I know people are into it. They like chanting, like yes, 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 and like counting and stuff. So the Yeet thing is over. I'm just not. It doesn't appeal to me. I'm too old. But Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther takes on Sami Zayn. Like, as far as a match goes, this is going to be match of the night. Sami Zayn is such an amazing babyface. Probably one of the best babyfaces in all of pro wrestling right now. And Gunther's got a lot of heat. I will always be forever grateful to Gunther because I, for the only one time in my entire life, I've been in an arena live for a five-star match, and that was Gunther's match last year with Drew and Sheamus at WrestleMania. So I'm always going to be grateful to him. I'm a huge Gunther fan. I think that it's time for Gunther to move on. Especially because you know, when we get to the Sunday, I think I have an opinion about who's going to win on Sunday too. I think Gunther should leave the Intercontinental Championship behind. There's nothing else he can do with it. It's more than enough time. I think Sammy wins it. Then I think Sammy and Gable will then, you know, go to a feud later this year. I think they're setting that up nicely already. And then Gunther should go and challenge for the world championship after that. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. I think Rhea should win. I know people will probably think that Becky should win, but I've already got like a couple title changes in my mind here. So like if Mike's booking, you don't want too many title changes. And I think that Rhea, you know, she's, you know, second year in a row, she's in a big match of Mania. I think that she needs to become more established as like a major star. And I think Becky's already there. Becky doesn't need to win. Rhea does. Rhea's on the cusp of being one of their all-time great women's champions. And I think that she needs this, you know, victory here over who I consider a legend in WWE and Becky Lynch, who I believe will be a, like, and this is very difficult for, you know, people that have been in WWE most of their careers. She'll be a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer one day because of her influence on women's wrestling in Becky Lynch. So I think that Rhea needs this victory. Becky does not. And I think that Rhea goes over and goes over clean. And Rossi Biddle says, yes, Rhea wins clean. And then Dan says, if Becky wins, does that mean she resigned? I don't think that the outcome of the match is predicated on whether or not she signs a new contract or not. I don't think that one has anything to do with the other. But I do think that she will resign. I don't see her going anywhere else. She's too valuable to the company. All right. And in the main event, we got match to determine the bloodline band or bloodline rules. Bloodline rules means bloodline can interfere. Kind of a dumb step, but it's obviously, I think this is the biggest match of the weekend. I think this is bigger than Cody versus Roman because The Rock and Cody have done such a great job of building this match. You know, Roman's kind of sitting in the cuck chair on this deal. Like he's just on the outside looking in, and Seth is kind of a geek. So this whole thing is about The Rock and Cody. And I think The Rock and Roman are going to win. I think The Rock pins Cody, and then that way he could set up another singles match with Cody down the line. I think that's how you do it. That's the way to go right there. And I think, look, it's not going to be your, you know, 30 minute like kick out of everything FTR versus the Young Bucks or the Young Bucks versus Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega classic match. It's not going to be that. It's going to be very much about crowd heat and awesome crowds, you know, big stadium, big stars. It's going to be a fun watch. It's probably going to go 20 minutes, 30 minutes with entrances. But I see it being a big deal. Dan says Cody versus Rock is the actual biggest match where the one-on-one match isn't happening. Rock has to pin Cody. Yeah. So they have time to set that match up and they could do that with this match. And then Dan says Seth isn't getting pinned twice. Absolutely. And then John Muse, Booker extraordinaire, says the bridge from the tag to Roman will basically shift the importance from one night to the next. This has been about Cody. Absolutely. Dan says, is Cody going to make The Rock bleed? I don't think they're going to do that at WrestleMania, but I could see them doing that as an angle down the line to help set up the match. Absolutely. Especially now that that's on the table, because whatever Rock wants, Rock gets. He's got the most influence in professional wrestling. He can do whatever he wants. And if he wants to bleed, they're going to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. You're on the board of directors. You do whatever the fuck you want. You're the biggest star in pro wrestling. Absolutely. If you want to bleed, go ahead. Here's the razor. I'll show you how to do it myself. He will 100% bleed if he wants to bleed. So, yeah. And I think that he should. I like blood in wrestling. I'm old school. I happen to enjoy it. Run the razor, make the money. Blood red turns dollar green, in my opinion. But when it's overdone, you know, you can just get used to it. And then it becomes like blood again. And I think we've seen that probably in some Moxley matches, because it's like you got to the point where every match is bleeding. And it's like, okay, well, I think let's take some time. let's take some time off from bleeding. We don't need to bleed that much. But and I don't know if you guys watched Raw this week. I watched the Hulu version. I watched it actually like before work this morning. And I thought it was another good episode. And I thought the opening segment with Rock and Roman and Seth, I thought that whole thing was done very well. So let's go to Sunday. We got a 6-man tag, Philadelphia Street Fight, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus the Final Testament. For the love of God and all that is holy, please let Bobby and the Street Profits win. I do not give one crap about Karrion Kross, the Alpha or the Authors of Pain, and that whole stupid group they got going on. They are boring to me. I saw the preview for this and I was like, I don't care. I want Bobby to win. Like, I'm a big Bobby Lashley fan, obviously. So that's where I want to go. Okay, and for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, we got Eli Drake versus the phenomenal AJ Styles. Okay, just kidding. It's LA Knight versus AJ singles match. But if there was ever like a TNA match on a WWE card, like this seems like it's it. The weird thing is these guys never actually crossed paths in TNA. AJ left, and then that like after that, like maybe like a year later, I don't remember the exact timeline, but that's when Eli Drake came in. But AJ was already gone by the time that happened. So they've never, well, I'm sure they've wrestled, but I don't think they ever wrestled in TNA. Like, they certainly didn't, like, that I've ever known. They never crossed paths there. So, but this is, like, very much a TNA, like, TNA match. I think LA Knight takes it just because he's over. But if Mike's booking, AJ Styles wins because AJ Styles is better. But they really like LA Knight. They do. United States Championship triple threat match. We got Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. You know what? Like, I don't know that you take the title off Logan Paul right now. Believe it or not, I think he's a good champion. I think he adds something to that title that nobody else can add. Now, if he's going to take extended time off, then I think you put the belt on Kevin Owens. I don't think Randy Orton should be the U.S. champion. It's nice that they have him in the match, but I don't see him being the champion. So I don't see any reason why you take the belt off Logan Paul at this point. I kind of like him being the United States champion. He's got like a cool vibe to him. And he's fun to watch too. Like, obviously, like technically, like he does a lot of cool moves and stuff like that, but a little sloppy. But like, he adds another element to WWE that's making them more popular than they were. And he's like a part of that. So, and it also brings sponsorship dollars too. So that's important. So I don't see any reason to take the belt off Logan Paul. I think Logan wins here. I think he beats Kevin. You keep Randy Orton strong, because I think Randy could go challenge for the title, like one of the titles here soon. WWE Women's Championship match, Io Sky versus Bayley. It is time. It has been time. Bayley is now a babyface. She was one of my favorite babyfaces in her years in NXT. They called her up, and she did have a little bit of a good run, but I thought they mostly missed the boat with her when she first got called up. And then they eventually turned her heel. She was a very good heel. But now she's back to babyface. I think it's time to get old school Bayley, get like the ghost things that, I don't know what those are called, that you see on the side of the street. Those, the big wavy hand thingy bobbies. I don't know what they're called, but you bring those out, you get the old school music, you bring old school Bayley back, babyface Bayley. She defeats Io Sky for the championship. I feel like this is going to be one of the better matches on the card. Night one, as far as like in ring, is probably going to be better, but I think like these top three matches here, I think are going to be pretty damn good. But I say you go Bayley over Io Sky. Absolutely. Now let's go to the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. And I want to know what you guys think, because I think it is time for Drew to finally get his WrestleMania moment. I know he won the title over, who did he beat for the world champion? But it was during the pandemic and nobody was in the arena. I can't remember who he beat. Somebody remembers that. I remember watching it. But he got the moment, and there was nobody there. And then they went to Clash of the Castle a couple years ago. Oh yeah, he beat Lesnar. Thank you, Dan. And they go to Clash of the Castle, and I'm like, okay, they're finally gonna give Drew the big moment. He deserves this. He deserves this match. He deserves this moment. And they didn't give it to him. And so they flipped him heel. And I think that was a wise decision, because as far as I'm concerned, like outside of The Rock, I don't think there's been a more compelling character on WWE television than Drew McIntyre. Not only on WWE TV, but I think on social media. He's been fantastic. The guy has just been money. Everything he does, every promo he does. And on top of that, he's one of the best workers in the company. And he looks like $1 million. Like, he finally became like that more well-rounded character that they've probably been wanting him to become. And after this heel run is over, he's going to be an even better babyface. It is time to crown Drew. It's been a long time. It is time to crown him. I think, yes, thank you, Io. Drew deserves this moment. No one has altered their perception of them more than Drew. He is very much now everything that they've always wanted him to be. He is awesome. And it is his time. And I think he's going to get the time. And I think that his match with Seth, you know what? I said maybe EO versus Bayley would be match of the night. I changed my mind. This will be match of the night. And I reserve the right to change my opinion later. Now Rossi has an interesting idea. He said McIntyre wins, Priest takes it away with a cash in, and Punk joins Judgment Day. I don't see Punk joining Judgment Day, because I think Judgment Day is a dead brand. They did get themselves over kind of like ironically. With Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio doing their whole deal. I don't think Punk's joining Judgment Day, but I could see Priest doing the cash in. I just don't see them taking the belt off of Drew. I just don't. Honestly, like, Priest is like what, 40, 42, something like that. And he's very good. I just don't think that that's the guy that you want to get behind. He's good. Don't get me wrong, but Drew's the guy. That's the guy. If you have him cash in, he's got to lose, which would probably tank his career. But I think I see him more as a tag team guy anyway. Although, I mean, you can go back to Puerto Rico and do big matches and stuff like that. But I just don't see him being like world champion. I just don't. And maybe I'm missing something. I don't know. But I've been a fan of his since he was Punishment Martinez on Ring of Honor. In fact, whenever Ring of Honor were doing like their next, I can't remember what they called it, but like the Next Generation tournament or something like that. The finals of the tournament is so funny. It was Leo Rush versus Punishment Martinez. We're in the finals of that tournament. I remember watching that. And Leo won, but I was like, the star is Punishment Martinez. He's very good. But they went with Leo because Leo did the cool moves, right? And it turns out they're both awesome. Like, Leo's still really good. He just has some issues, but he's still really good. A lot of people got some complicated thoughts on this. Let's see. Dan Goucher says, Priest is at least better on the mic now. Yeah, he's very good on the mic. He's learned a lot. Dan V900 said, Priest didn't attempt to cash in on a beatdown Seth on Raw, which is very stupid. Drew should get disqualified on purpose with a low bro to Priest attempting to cash. I think if they end that with a low blow, man, that's going to get so much backlash. Judgment Day are breaking up with Dom, going for the LWO angle. Dame's going solo. And Rhea losing the title because they are focused with Becky for some reason. And look, I could see it. You know, I could see it. It's hard to predict these things, but that's what we do here. And then in the main event, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, we got Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. I was there live last year, almost exactly a year to the day, where I was there in Los Angeles so I could see Cody get his moment. And he didn't get it. And I was just so disappointed. And I thought it was a mistake then. I still think it was a mistake. And if they don't switch the title, if Cody doesn't win, I do feel like they will have tanked his career. I just don't think that they can go back. I don't. It's a giant mistake. And Cody is such a hot babyface right now. He is. So last year when they went in, he was a hot babyface last year. But I'll be honest, the hottest babyface going into WrestleMania last year was Roman. The Bloodline was over. Like, I know they're heels, but they were over as baby faces. In that arena, it was like 50-50 cheers for Cody, cheers for Roman. But my whole section, they were all for Roman. Like, they were like the ones were up and all that when he won. Like, he got lots of cheers when he won. Roman's not as over right now. In fact, like Rock has stolen a lot of his heat. And I think the fact that he's just not that not around that much either has also kind of had an effect. But The Rock has stolen some of heat from Roman, and a lot of that heat has gone to Cody because of the whole Rock taking his spot. That has gotten Cody into that Bryan Danielson position to where he is like far and away the top babyface in the company. And if they don't give him the belt, they're going to lose a lot of money. I think they'll tank Cody. And he deserves it. He's worked his ass off. He's having great matches, great promos. He represents the company very well. You know, we talked about the CM Punk promo with Ariel Helwani earlier this week. Well, the very next day, Cody went out there and did everything that they wanted him to do. He is the epitome of a top star in WWE. He is the perfect guy for that company. And if they don't put the title on him, they literally have fucked it up. They will have fucked it up. I thought they did that last year. I guarantee they will have completely screwed this whole thing up this year if they don't put the belt on them. It'll be a giant mistake. So I'm looking forward to that match. I think it's going to be great. I think Cody wins. I think on Saturday he gets pinned by The Rock. Sunday he beats Roman. And then that will lead to next year, Cody versus The Rock. Because Cody and The Rock is right now the biggest money match you can make in all of pro wrestling. And I think The Rock's got like movies and stuff for over the summer. So I don't think he's going to be around over the summer, which is why I was like, you know, Gunther should lose the Intercontinental title because I think he'd be a good opponent for Cody. He'd be a good challenger. And you can take that match like on the road too. And it'll draw. Cody versus Gunther, like at house shows, will draw. It absolutely will. You can do cage matches. You can do all kinds of stuff with that. I think they absolutely can make big money with it. And then, you know, then they'll have to get a, you know, babyface cooked up for Drew. Although I think the audience is probably going to turn him babyface eventually. So, here, let's go to the chat and then we're going to call it a night. I think I've gone on about 90 minutes. Let's see who we got here. John Mew says Cody must win. Absolutely. Io says against all odds. Are you forecasting a TNA show there, Io? Dan Gatch says Mama Rose is going to turn on her son Cody because he couldn't finish the steps. Okay. Well, look, if that happens, count me in. If Mama Rhodes joins like Cody and is like, or if Mama Rhodes joins The Rock and like becomes part of the bloodline, okay, fuck it. Count me in. That'd be so ridiculous. Like, count me in. That'd be awesome. Cody needs an Avengers type miracle win, says Io. Let's see. Dan says Cody and Sammy had higher quarter hours than Roman last year prior to Wrestle. You know what, dude? I don't really like the quarter hour thing. It could just very well like earlier this week, we already talked about Jay White and Billy Gunn was the highest quarter hour. I don't think that tells me that those guys are bigger draws than, you know, Samoa Joe, right? Like there's probably like a break in the action in basketball. It could have just been that. Him going part-time and the rumors of his leukemia flaring up, I could see him coming down the mountain a little bit. Roman needs to lose so he can turn face later and face the Hill Rock. See, now you're talking. That's smart booking right there. The way that this whole thing played out with this tag match, it gives them so many opportunities to go in all these different directions that really has worked out in their favor. And they've done a really great job. Rock accidentally intentionally made Cody a bigger star. Yeah, I don't think it was on purpose at first, but once they saw the tide turning, they just leaned into it. Because Rock's about business. Rock's about money. He's in the Rock business. And he saw how big Cody was getting. And look, Cody has way more charisma than Roman. He just does. Cody can talk people into a building better than Roman can. That's all there is to it. Gunther says, shot of Brandy must return. I might ban you from the chat for saying that. I'm just kidding. Io says, let's not think that losing is an option. Yeah. I didn't think he could lose last year, and he sure as hell did. And then Dan says, yeah, Rock is booked from May 1st to August 1st, so it can't be at SummerSlam. Yeah, so they would have to do it next year at Mania. And then I have Gunther win the title from Cody at Bash in the Berlin. I wouldn't take the title off Cody anytime soon. I think Cody versus Rock in next year WrestleMania has to be the match. And then lastly, before I get off here, brother XOTHYR, I am not even going to attempt to pronounce that name, but it says Pharaoh makes an appearance, betrays Cody by joining the bloodline, then craps in the ring. That is a great comment to end the show on. I don't think we can overcome that. So thank you, sir. But that is going to do it all for the Mike and JD show. I thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for sticking around for bonus content right here on the Voices of Wrestling Network. Head to our Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. I'm going to have a Brace for Impact out. I'll more than likely on our Patreon have WrestleMania content. I am going to be watching both nights of WrestleMania, and probably on Monday I will do a recap. Monday on Patreon. So head over to patreon.com if you want my WrestleMania recap. And I might try to find a guest to come on the show with me to do that. So, but yeah, check it all out there. I really appreciate you guys being here. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.